What is up, Rundown Nation? I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
This is the College Football Rundown Week 8. Some good games, a lot of buys this week, but there are still some awesome games to be played. One being the kind of highlight here is the Penn State-Ohio State game. That one's going to be a bruiser. But we had a pretty good week last week. Well, a lot of interesting games happened.
Yeah, it was a good week for college football. I mean, it was a good week for us. I am not happy about this Woj and Walt pick'em, Woj. You are on fire, my friend. You are on fire. Was not happy about that. Army just got blanked, which win every game except for the pick'em. That's how it goes this year. But I'll take that because there's no real money on the line, Woj.
Yeah, no. Well, unless you bet real money. I mean, I'm betting. I'm doing pretty well right now. But last week we did have our DraftKings League, our seventh week. I kind of misspoke last week. I thought it was going to be our eighth. I did make some official rankings here. We will get to in a second. But first, we need to talk to. Well, we're not going to talk to him. We're going to talk about him. James O3 with the win with 164.48 points. It was a tough week last week picking. It was tough in DraftKings, and it showed in our league. The scores were not great. JM Dupe came in second at 142.64, and Story 1135 in third with 117.50. A lot of injuries. I thought I made a great play going with the Ohio State running back, that big guy. I can't remember his name. Starts with a T. He did get the lead back role, but he got hurt in the first quarter, so that was great. But nevertheless, James O3 took Devin Neal, the quarterback or running back combo, we said, from Kansas, and Ollie Gordon from Oklahoma State. Total was 63.10 points for them. That was at $12,900 salary for 204 per point. And that's only with Devin Neal going for 11.10 points. Kansas had to play catch up from behind the whole game, so they passed it a lot. But Gordon, huge day, 52.40, clocking in at 118 per point. So well done there. Way to take the dual running back games combo. We've done that a couple times this season now. Official rankings, though, Wal, you ready for this little drum roll?
Nah, I'm not giving any drum roll. I'm not in them, so I'm not happy about it.
All right, through 7 weeks. Remember, these are for people that have played all 7 weeks. Some have not. Story 1135 with a 2.7, two wins. That's the finishing average. Excuse me, 2.7 placement average. He's had two wins in the season. James O3 also with two wins in the season at 3, dead even. And then JM Doof at 3.1 with two wins on the season as well. I am fourth. I'll just want to add that in there at 3.2, and I only have one win. So I'm coming. I'm coming for you guys. But 7 week point totals is James O3 with 1120, Story 1135 with 1103, and then myself with 1050.96. Well, we're going to get the actual official rankings next week, since we will have then played a full 8 weeks. But it is the 12 game main slate this weekend. While they like going with these 12 game main slates, become kind of the norm. Some good games, though. It won't be as hard to pick as it was last week, though. I can assure you that. Well, was it tough last week? Did you pick, Wal?
No, I did not. It was easy, Woj. I had no trouble whatsoever.
If there was ever a week not to pick a team, that last week was it, because that was just it was a head scratcher there. And the points definitely showed it. But last week's games, while we had some interesting ones, Washington did end up beating down on Oregon 36-33. Did you get to watch that game at all?
Yeah, it was a good game. Good football game. Bo Nix played, I mean, in my opinion, phenomenal football. He had almost 340 yards passing, two touchdowns. I think he, you know, outshined his competition over there at Washington, Mr. Penix. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day, because Washington did pull out the win, won by a field goal. The linesmakers had that one right on with a push for most people that had that ticket.
Yeah, it was pretty tight there towards the end. Notre Dame D holds USC to only 20 points, Wal, beats them 48-20. I got to watch this whole game, and they were in control that whole time, Wal.
Yeah, absolutely. You and I were messaging back and forth in our group about it, and Notre Dame just looked like a far superior football team. The funny thing is, Notre Dame is coming off that loss to Louisville, a football team that's, you know, mediocre, I guess, at best. They're coming off that loss, and then they just go and crush the top team in the Pac-12. I mean, I've been hearing all year how great this Pac-12 is. Well, you know, you don't let a team like Notre Dame just absolutely crush you if you're that great. USC did not look good. Their star player, Mr. Caleb Williams, probably shot himself in the foot for a Heisman because you can't play. You can play a bad game. You get a gimme, you know, you get a bye. What do you call that in golf, Forge? A mulligan? Is that
a what mulligan. They call it? Yeah, a mulligan.
You get a mulligan, but not if it's that bad. You know, this one went into the lake and then went into the sand trap in the lake. That's how bad it was. He did not look good. Notre Dame shut him down. Better football team, no question.
Yeah, Caleb Williams looked frustrated. He was very animated in the sidelines, sometimes looking at like, oh, he always wanted to point at somebody else's fault and whatnot. But that's what it looked like from me on TV. I don't know, but what it was really, but throwing that many picks and he did not look good at all. But speaking of that Louisville team, while Pitt takes down Louisville, I know Pitt's one of your favorite teams on a hangover week there, 38-21. So Notre Dame beats up USC after losing to Louisville, and then Louisville gets beat by a Pittsburgh team that's not really that good, 38-21.
No, and it hands Louisville, I mean, I think that's their first loss on the season
over there.
And, I mean, lose it to Pittsburgh? You know how I feel about that program, Woj. I don't want to say too much. I will say this. Louisville, their star players outshine anyone, but Pittsburgh played a better team football game. That's what it's all about. They come away with a win.
Yeah, Bama holds off a big second half push by Arkansas. Arkansas almost came back in that game. The Bama holds them off 24-21. I didn't get to see that game, so I didn't really get to see that second half, but I kind of wanted to go back and watch it. I just haven't yet. But a tight one there for Bama, who, again, just keeps inching by these teams in the SEC. I don't know what it is. They get to play Tennessee this weekend, so we'll get to see another one there. But I just don't know what to think of this Alabama team yet, and I really don't.
You should go back and watch the replay because I did watch a lot of the first half in that game, didn't catch much of the second half, but Mr. Saban was quite animated over there on the sidelines, to say the least. I mean, the end of the second half, they did take it over, and Alabama just, it kind of looked like they were going to win the football game at that point. Arkansas played better as far as the scoreboard goes in the second half, but Alabama was playing that kind of Iowa, you know, Tampa 2 defense, just make sure they don't score, keep your lead. They pulled away with a game. Be interesting to see if we end up talking about that Alabama-Tennessee game, because that's going to be a more interesting football game, in my opinion.
Yeah. Arizona puts the Pac-12 beat down on Washington State. Well, ready for this one? 44-6. How does Washington State, who's been so touted and talked about and doing so well, lose to Arizona 44-6? I don't even know where to even start there. I mean, that's just wild.
I mean, it's insane. And then we were just talking about the USC game and how, you know, it wasn't quite that bad of a score, but as far as, you know, top tier programs, that was a bad score in its own right. So what is going on with that Pac-12? We're going to see that Washington State team play against Oregon this week. I mean, 44-6 Arizona. Let's see what Oregon does to these guys, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we'll just stay with the Pac-12 and talk about Colorado one more time again for the last week's games. Colorado blows a 29-point halftime lead wall and loses in overtime to, hold on, Stanford. 46-43. They let Stanford score 46 points while gave up 36 in the second half.
Yeah, their defense is not good. It's something we've known since they played TCU the first game of the season, which they did win, to Colorado's credit, but we saw how vulnerable their defense was, and it's been shown game in and game out. Well, you know, defense wins championships. They're the ones that keep you in football games. They're the ones that can lose you football games. Clear as blue skies, Woj. Their defense is not good. It hurts their football team. Anyone that listened to this podcast last week or listened to me over there on the Sports Betting Intel College Football Preview podcast, we were big on Stanford on the points and to win it straight up. So that was a huge win. Big money on that one. Real happy with it.
All right, let's get in some games this week. But before we do that, I just want to talk a little bit about daily fantasy for this week, especially. Keep an eye on the injury report, because there are so many questionables out there. You can always maybe even pick up a sweet pick that might people might not know, or get a really good deal on a running back or a quarterback or somebody. But just keep your eye peeled on that injury report, especially for a week like this where there are so many questionables. But we're going to get right into it with UCF at number 6, Oklahoma, 11 a.m. on ABC Wall.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting football game. Stay tuned for the Wojan Wall Pick'em at the end of this episode. Let's plug our own episode, Woj. This one might become a factor for Wall. But in this football game, we got best line on Oklahoma right now, -18.5. Look for that line to move. I mean, might get a better number than that because UCF does bring in some money from time to time. Best line over there on Caesars at the same, +19, -110. Getting that extra half a point. Gotta love that. Gotta love sportsbettingintel.com for showing you. Just pick the right book. You get that extra half point. You want UCF on the money line, Woj? +750. Woohoo! Come on now. You're gonna put 100 down and make 750 on this game?
No, absolutely not, Wal.
Well, what about that total? You got a 66. There gotta be some DFS guys in this, no?
Yeah, there is. I mean, with Oklahoma being where they're at and the position they're at, there are the highest implied point total in the slate. I think it's 45.5 or somewhere around there. Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback from Oklahoma at 9,300, is the second highest salaried guy. I think Bo Nix is the highest, but Dylan Gabriel is set for to be a really great pick this week, as long as he plays the entire game. It's a really good spot for him. He's dual threat quarterback. You can put him on the ground. You can put him in the air. Look for him to be a key guy if you want to pick him. Another sneaky pick here, which I think I like better almost, is Tywee Walker, the running back from Oklahoma. He's only 5,400. This is perfect. We talked about a good spot for DG up there, Dylan Gabriel, but this is even better for him. Marcus Major has not been impressing, and Javonte Barnes is out until later this year. He is the third string, but he got the number one rushing running back start against Texas last week, scored 19 points and went into the end zone twice there. So that was and the thing about this is going to be a lopsided game. So it's a great game for him to really shine as that number one running back if they really put him ahead of Marcus Major, which I think they're going to. So 5,400 is a steal for a team that is implied for that many points. You just got to hope that Dylan Gabriel doesn't take all of his shine away. But even if he were to score 20 points, you're still in the bonus there. So I really like Tywee Walker in this one, Wal.
Yeah, well, I liked your first pick, to be honest with you, Dylan Gabriel. I'm over here looking at his predicted points on sportsbettingintel.com. Looks like they have him 308.5 passing yards. I mean, that gets you some fantasy points. No, if he ends up coming in at that 309 passing yards, that's a lot of fantasy points. So I kind of like Dylan Gabriel. I like Oklahoma in this football game.
Yeah. Moving on to a big battle in the Big Ten, Wall. Number 7, Penn State at number 3, Ohio State, going to the Horseshoe, 11 a.m. on Fox. This is going to be a big one here for the east side of the Big Ten. In the last season, we're going to have the conference as well.
Yeah, a lot of that going on, you know, not just in the Big Ten conference, other conferences too. So get your fill of these rivalries, even though it's not a huge rivalry. It's a big game year in and year out, like you mentioned. We're not going to get it every week or every year going forward. This one is expected to be a close game, 4.5-point spread. Ohio State is the favorite as of now, and I doubt that'll change. They're going to stay the favorite, especially being the home team. But that Penn State team is a pretty good football team, +165 if you want to bet them to take down the Buckeyes. Over of 45.5. Well, just not a lot of points in this game. Usually that translates to not a lot of DFS points, but maybe you can get some guys in the cheap on this one.
Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. Penn State is the number one team in the nation right now against the run, only allowing opposing running back 7.8 fantasy points per game. So what does Woj do? He goes and tries to find some value in the Ohio State running backs. The thing about it is the Ohio State running back crew is all hurt. They have three guys down, their top three guys. Dallin Hayden rushed last week for them and did pretty good. He's only 4,100 this week. Look for Mayan Williams possibly to come off the questionable. But again, this is one of those that you have to really keep your eye on the injury report. But Mayan Williams is only 4,300. And if he's the lead back at 4,300, I mean, that's so hard to pass up. I get it. Penn State's really good, but they haven't really played anybody. So, I mean, that's where that number one in the nation against the run comes from. But I want to I don't know if I want, I don't love this pick, any of these picks. I really want to watch this game. I'm excited for this game. I think this is going to be a tight game. Penn State is a much better football team than we've seen in the past, a much more well-rounded team than we've seen in the past. So I'm excited to see them try to take on Ohio State. Their depth wall is crazy, especially on the line. They're like Michigan. There was a stat I heard last week that Michigan had 15 guys or 14 guys play the defensive line. And just because they kept swapping in and out. So every other play they would swap in and out, get fresh people in there. And Penn State's a team that does that as well. I mean, they're just so deep and they're so well-rounded in pass and offense and everything. It's going to be an interesting battle to see how Ohio State puts up with this, but Ohio State is at home in the horseshoe wall. And that's not an easy thing to do, is come in there and beat Ohio State in the horseshoe.
No, it's not. And that's why you won't see Penn State go to the favorite in this one. I mean, I think they're just as good as a football team. I wish we were seeing them on a neutral field or something, because that horseshoe, you know, home field advantage is huge for Ohio State. They catch a break this year. I don't know if you remember last week, but I messaged the group. I don't know if you got on it, Woj. I messaged, what did I say? I said, Caesars posted a line for Penn State plus 10. Remember Now you can see the line now is all the way down to +4.5. That was a huge hit for anybody that got it. I hope somebody listening got
it. I jumped on that wall. That was a no-brainer right there at +10.
Yeah, there you go. Now you can hedge out and lock in money if you want, or let it ride, because I think it will be a close game. Regardless what side you bet on, it's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, this gets me juiced up. It gets those juices flowing. Wish I was tailgating again back in the day in college ball. But no, that game is going to be exciting. Can't wait to watch that one. I'm going to watch it all the way through. Memphis at UAB, 11 a.m. on ESPN2. Wall. Why is Woj bringing this one to the table?
Well, my normal guess is that we're looking at a total that's pretty high. We are looking at a fairly high total, Woj. It's 61, but it's not a normal Woj 64, 65 type blow your pants off game. So I'll let you tell the people why we are looking at that. Excuse me, I can't speak right now. Money line, you want UAB +220. It's a 6.5-point spread. So you don't have to give that full touchdown if you want Memphis -110 on both sides of that. I mean, I don't know that I have a side in this one, Woj. Why are we talking about it? Let the people know.
We're talking about this because Memphis is going to beat UAB.
Wow. I'm
picking the favorite to win here, but Blake Watson, he was the running back from Memphis. He's 7,300. He is questionable, but it might look like he'll play. The reason we're talking about this is because UAB has a terrible, terrible run defense. Okay. We'll get to the other side of this in a second, but they have a terrible run defense, giving up 27.8 fantasy points per game to running backs and 203 yards per game on the ground. That is not good. That puts you in the caboose of college football in the nation in your defense against running backs. So if Blake Watson goes, who's a great running back already, he is going to demolish them. $7,300 is a lot to pay, and I know a lot of people don't know who he is or Memphis, but trust me, if he plays, that is a great pick. Another great pick, Wall, is the quarterback from Memphis, who's Seth Harrigan. 8,300. If you're going to play a dual quarterback this week, like you're going to have a super flex, you're in your super flex spot, you're going to play a quarterback on DraftKings, you're going to have this guy in there, because some of the salaries are too crazy for consistent guys. I mean, you can make it work other ways, but you don't want Deacon Hill in your lineup from Iowa. So you got to need some middle of the road quarterbacks here. But this middle of the road quarterback, this could be the best quarterback play of the week. UAB's run defense is bad. They're even worse against the pass. They're the seventh worst team in the nation, giving up 32.7 fantasy points per game against quarterbacks. Okay, that's a lot of fantasy points per game. Okay, that's a lot. So this guy likes to run it a little bit, but Memphis is typically a pass-heavy team, and they still are this year. The nice thing about Watson is he does get some of those catches and get into the pass game if he is playing. But Hennigan is going to be a guy that's probably going to be on a lot of rosters and tournament play, especially being the price he is at 8,300. He's very affordable for a quarterback in the slate. There's a lot of guys right around that 9,000 mark. I mean, he is $1,000 cheaper than Dylan Gabriel, and I think his ceiling in this game is as high as Dylan Gabriel's is. So that just kind of gives you an idea about that. On the other side of this ball, you have Amari Thomas, the wide receiver from UAB. He's 5,100. He's priced really well this week for a guy that gets double-digit targets. He's had some off games, but remember, this is a UAB team that scored 21 points versus or Georgia earlier this year, and they were very pass-heavy in that game when playing from behind. So look for them being playing from behind again, and they're look for Amari Thomas to be that wide receiver that gets most of those grabs while and just getting those points per receptions. And hey, if he gets a couple touchdowns or a touchdown here, that's awesome. But again, I emphasize this again, they scored 21 points on a Georgia defense wall.
I mean, I haven't watched UAB play. I don't think I did watch one game of theirs. I haven't watched Memphis play at all this season, but what you're saying checks out. I'm looking at the advanced stats. One thing that jumps out at me from what you were just saying, I'm looking at open field yards per play. Memphis is, or UAB's defense is at about 2 open field yards per play, which is just it's an astronomical number. And I know it doesn't seem big, me just saying they're at 2 open field yards per play. But if you think about that, that's almost a first down in open field yards. You know, every time they're running the football or passing the football, they're getting those 2 extra open field yards. For comparison's sake, maybe it makes it a little easier to understand. UAB's defense is at 470 given up total open field yards on the season. Let's go over to Memphis, who is not one of the best teams on the defensive side. Not bad, like you kind of alluded to. They're not one of the best, though. They're at 243. So UAB, I mean, they're almost double in open field yards what Memphis is, and that's only a mediocre team. So UAB gives up big plays. You're probably going to get those big plays with your DFS guys. Your picks make sense to me, Woj.
All right. I like it. Another lopsided game here. While we're going to go to number 8, Texas at Houston, 3 p.m. on Fox.
Texas, let's go Longhorns. Hey, what conference are we in? Houston is in the Big 12 now, Woj. This is a conference football game.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's insane. I mean,
Who was the quarterback they used to have a couple years ago? He did transfer. I can't remember what his name was, but he was really good. It kind of put Houston on the map for a lot of people. I can't remember what I think.
Oh, that's when Holgerson was there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Case Keenum? Was it Keenum?
No, I think it was something King, from what I remember. But he was a really good quarterback, kind of put Houston on the map, and they were like, all right, we're going to join the Big 12 now. So they decided to join the Big 12, and they're finally in there this year. Well, let's see him play a Big 12 team.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, and then it was Derek King, I believe, and then he transferred to Miami,
Yes,
that's what happened. Yeah, and then when Holgerson left, he went over there to West Virginia, I believe. But yeah, mm-hmm. But we're talking about a conference football game. And poor Houston, they're going up against the big boys, Texas, who's coming off a bye week. But the week before that was a big loss in the Red River rivalry. I love to show off whenever the opportunity. They lost that one to Oklahoma, which, you know, Texas is not going to be happy about that. Kind of put their national championship hopes on the back burner, at least for now, that's for sure. So they're going to be very pissed off. They're going to come out wanting to kill someone. You got a spread of -23.5, kind of reflecting that. -16, you can put down $1,600 if you want to just put $100 back in your pocket on the Longhorns. Over under of 61, so it's not expected to be a low scoring affair by any means, just a little bit under what that Red River rivalry was at, Woj.
Yeah, and the best play in DFS this week is in this game, and that's Jonathan Brooks, the running back from Texas at 7,400. We've talked about him a couple times now. Well, I think actually we've talked about him almost every week because Texas just keeps getting in the slate. This guy is the real deal and is fast becoming one of the best running backs in college football. He has just been exploding ever since that Alabama game. I swear they must have listened to us because we talked about how bad they were at running the football, and that now since that game, he's just exploded. The good thing about this too is it's a lopsided game, and even in a lopsided game, he's been playing recently. Versus Kansas and Baylor, he racked up 39 rushes for 324 yards and 4 TDs, 2 TDs in each of those games. Both of those games were essentially over at halftime. Maybe not the Kansas game was, but soon into the third quarter, it was by far over. So Jonathan Brooks looked to explode again this week, 30 plus points. He is a must play, I believe, in this game against a Houston team that they're just going to route wall.
I mean, you haven't talked about Mr. Worthy lately.
So I made a roster before we even started this podcast, and I tried to put Worthy in there, but I'm putting so much more bang for my buck into Jonathan Brooks here, even being at 7,400. I think Worthy's in the maybe 6,100. I don't know his exact number right now, but I just weigh this so much more on Brooks now with how good he's been recently that I'm going to go Brooks all the way on this one. I think Texas is definitely transitioned to this team where they found that running back that's going to take them to the next level like they've had in years past with both of their running backs from last year. I see this being a Jonathan Brooks show, not a Xavier Worthy show, not one of those type of games. Well,
yeah, I like it. And you're referencing Mr. Bijan Robinson, greatest player.
And Jonathan, it was Brooks, the guy at the Bears. I can't remember his name.
Jonathan Brooks is the guy you're talking about right now. Which,
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What I want to say before we get off it is I like your maybe staying away from Worthy. I think he's a great, phenomenal wide receiver. Being a Texas Longhorns fan, I watch a lot of their games. Mr. Quinn Ewers is spreading the ball around a lot, so you get a lot of touches for Mitchell and Sanders over there, who's their tight end. And then Whittington sometimes gets the ball too. So I like what you're saying, because Xavier Worthy, phenomenal player. You're just wanting to put the best player on your team, as in having a real football team. You go with him, no question. In my opinion, no question with Worthy. But he's just not performing because Ewers has so many other options. I like your pick to just straight up put Brooks on the team.
Yeah, Worthy is at 6,500. It's not 6,165, which isn't too bad for an all-star wide receiver. But yeah, Brooks is taking the show here, especially in a lopsided matchup. Ball.
Love it. Love it.
Another pick I just wanted to mention really quick before we do move on. Tez Johnson from Oregon. If you do want to get into that Oregon game again, high implied points, Washington State scored 6 points against Arizona last week. I don't know how they're implied to score 21 points against Oregon. I'm not sure how that works. but he's only 5,700 for a guy that's like number, obviously, Troy Flankren is their number one guy. He's a beast. He scores 30 some points a game, but, Tez Johnson has been in his own right, very good as well. Only 5,700 this week. I mean, for a team that's going to blow him out, he's a really good pick. Bucky Irving, the running back, is at 7,500. That's tough. Just because I don't know what they're going to do. If they're winning by a crazy margin, I don't know if he plays, but we already know Jonathan Brooks does. So let's play him instead.
All right, Woj, I'll write it down on my piece of paper. I'm yet to be decided if I'm taking him on my team though.
Okay. All right. Real quick, before we get into our Woj and Wall pick'em, what are you thinking about this Tennessee at Alabama game, 2:30 CBS?
I mean, I like Alabama in this football game. I like to fade Tennessee, and I always like the Alabama football team, made money on them so far this year. I mean, we're talking about an 8.5 point spread under that 10 that I would kind of expect in my head. Tennessee, I believe. Let me check. I'm going to head over to sportsbettingintel.com. I'm going to click this week in college football. We're talking about the SEC, Woj. I'm going to go to Alabama, Tennessee. Click on the game details. Yeah. Tennessee has only played one game on the road so far this year, Woj. One game. I mean,
that was at Texas A&M, I believe, last week, where Alabama was on the road as well.
Well, Alabama was at, they were at Kyle Field there at A&M, but that was a couple weeks ago. Last week, Tennessee was home against A&M. Their road game was Florida, which they lost. So they've had one road game. They've lost one road game. So I don't really like them going into Bama and beating Bama, especially after seeing you kind of get used to the demeanors on Mr. Saban's face. After watching the game last week, seeing the demeanor, I think that football team was disciplined this week, to say the least. I think they're going to go into their home stadium and just crush Tennessee. So I like Alabama in this football game.
I'm going to go against you. Not that I don't think Alabama's going to win, but I think this game comes down to the last drive of the game. I think this is going to be a very tight game. Definitely easily within one score, possibly even within a field goal. But Tennessee is a team that has changed. Not so offensive minded now. Their defense has actually been playing pretty well. They both let Texas A&M, Alabama, and Tennessee score 20 points on them, but that's it. Tennessee's offense is struggling, but Alabama's defense and penalties haven't helped them at all. One of the most heavily penalized teams in the nation. Yeah, we're talking about Alabama, and that's been for multiple years now. So I think Tennessee holds this pretty tight. I think they play this tight like Texas played Alabama tight, and it comes down to the final quarter here, and we'll see if Tennessee can pull it out. But I do think this game is going to be tight. I almost did it for my pick'em. I didn't. That's a little key in on our next segment here. But I do not like Tennessee. I'll say it like that.
Well, there you go. If you did it for the pick'em, I'd change my pick'em right now, and I would take Alabama at home. We have to remember it. Now, if this was in Neyland Stadium, you know, I don't take Bama in that situation. And plus, the line wouldn't be 8.5. It'd be more like 4.5 or something like that. But I just like Bama in this game. If you remember last year, this football game, when it was being played, I think it was maybe the sixth week of the season, around the same time we're playing it right now. And it came down to a field goal game there at the end. It was a really close game, but it was hyped up, Woj. It was one of the most hyped games that I've seen during the regular season, anyways, that I've seen in the past, I don't know how many years, 5 or 6 years. And we were talking about two of the best teams in the nation at the time that people thought these are national championship contenders. Now this year, yes, they're both ranked teams. Neither one, though, is in the top 10. Neither one is being talked about to win the national championship. Just a complete flip from last year. I don't think Tennessee has that momentum that they had last year. I don't think they have that hype. I just like Alabama considering it's home mode. So, yes, if you made that your pick, I would change my pick on the fly.
8.5, right, Wal?
8.5. Well, I'm going to pick the best number on it. That's for sure.
You look up the best number. What's the best numbers on it on SBI there?
Let me go to
the. I might take this. Time. We might go with this, Wal.
Really? You don't want to go against me, Woj. You don't want to go against me, son. Let me see. I'm looking here at. I mean, yeah. Well, we should call it 8.5 because that's pretty much the consensus across all the books. I guess Alabama -8.5 is -109, -112. Well, it's the opposite on DraftKings. So yeah, we'll just call it 8.5. If you didn't want to take it, we would do it at 8.5 to be fair, Woj.
Let's do it. I'm still going to give the picks for this week, but for our fans, for a little Woj versus Wal here, let's do it. I'm taking Tennessee getting 8.5 against an Alabama team, which I just don't think is that good. I mean, neither team is.
Oh, I can't wait to write my weekly email to Mr. Saban tonight and let him know what you said, Woj. I'm so excited for this. You didn't even tell what your other pick was.
Well, no, we're going to go into that. Let's go into that. So, Wal, who was your regular pick going to be before we've gone into this Alabama Tennessee now?
Well, we kind of took the oomph out of it now
that we set our true. Picks. That's true. I mean, but what was your pick?
We probably lost a couple of people too. My pick was Oklahoma -18.5 against UCF. I just think Oklahoma, they're a team that I've been riding, you know, 3 or 4 times this season. They've covered every time for me. They're a good football team. They're coming off a bye week. They beat Texas in that huge Red River rivalry game. Which, yes, I'm just doing it. I'm showing off. I'm showing off.
But all right.
I think they take UCF down, and I think they do it quite handily.
I think you're right on that one. I took Michigan, and also a heavily favored team, at -24 at -108 on Bet Rivers. That is versus a Michigan State team. It is a rivalry game. I get that. But it's versus a Michigan State team whose defense is terrible. Michigan is going to womp on them just like they've womped on everybody so far this season. I loved a Michigan -24.5 there, but I'm happily changing that to a Tennessee 8.5, getting 8.5. I'm taking a dog here. Well, I love taking the dogs.
Yeah, that's true. You are taking a dog, and I give you some respect for that, Woj. I'm sorry that you're going to lose your bet, though. That's a tough pill you're going to have to swallow, though. I was looking at the first half lines here, actually, as far as real betting, what I might want to do. I mean, I'm going to put money now that I changed my pick for sure. I'm going to have to put some money on Bama, but I'm looking at this, you know, first half line. Bama at -4.5 is kind of a sexy line in my opinion too, but we'll keep it on that main line. I do want to say, Woj, you're 5-2 on the season. You're usually not coming off this hot. You're almost bowl eligible already. Yeah,
I know. I'm almost Iowa, but no, let's talk. I forgot to talk about last week. We had a guest on. We got to talk about them because he's 1-0, and I don't know if he's lost a single one in our career here in 90 episodes. Story is 1-0. He had Kentucky with the over 51.5, easily got that. I had Georgia State -1.5, easily won that. I am now 5-2. While you had an Army team which struggled at +4.5, you're 3-1 there. So
it was a close game, Moj. It was a close game. Detroit only beat him by 19, and Army almost scored a point. So,
but that score is going to get a little bit more lopsided by next week. Well,
no, it's not, boys. No, it's not. Hey, we didn't bring up our Iowa Hawkeyes. They take down Wisconsin, 10-point dogs, and they end up going into Camp Randall, taking them down. I mean, Woj, I saw this stat on the broadcast there. I was 68-2 when winning by 8+ at any point in a game. 68-2.
That's because they don't honestly score that many points until the end of the game.
Well, apparently they score some points if they get up by 8 at least 70 times. I mean, well, come on. Yeah, I guess. 68-2. And then also, which we had another W in Kinnick this weekend, not even at Kinnick.
Yeah,
Kinnick,
the ladies. But that was awesome. That was cool to watch. I don't know if anybody got to watch that ball, but go ahead and explain it.
Oh, I was just going to say it was an exciting game to watch. I watched it myself, the women's basketball program with Caitlin Clark. You know, hyped Iowa basketball. They're third. They're chalk to win the national championship this season, so getting a lot of hype. They brought the court outdoors on the side of the end zone. They were playing a basketball game against DePaul, the women's basketball. Caitlin Clark had a phenomenal game. They almost dropped 100, Woj, in the outdoor environment. They almost dropped 100, scored 96. It was crazy.
It was windy, too. It was like 14-mile-an-hour winds. I don't know how windy it was down on the court, but it was cold and windy. But it was such a cool thing to do. I watched all of that hype up to I couldn't watch the Bears game. Who wanted to watch that? So I got to watch the first half all the way through in that game. It was so exciting. Way to go for the University of Iowa. They got the record for the most people in attendance at a women's basketball game with 55,000. I think the record before that was 29. So such a cool thing to do. They got to do the wave to the children's hospital, and the Iowa girls are going to be good again. Well, they're going to be good again.
They are. I mean, hopefully they can. Who is it? LSU. Hopefully they can take down LSU, and Connecticut's always up there too. We'll see how they perform. It was exciting, Woj, but I'm more excited for this weekend, baby.
Yeah, this is going to be a game. Your little Tennessee, Alabama, 2:30 CBS. Well, all right, let's do it.
Roll Tide.
All right. I am Woj.
I'm Walt.
And this was the College Football Rundown. Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code RUNDOWN when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wall.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.